I'm glad to be here back today after a short trip to Montana and being able to spend a few days with Mandy and Nick and their new baby, Levi. And they're all doing well. And Karen is spending time a couple of weeks over there. And then I plan to go over and pick her up this week and be back early part of next week. So we're happy to be here, and it's a beautiful day, and I concur with Chuck that we need to all be examining our hearts and our commitments, and we're living in a time when we need to really dig deep into our faith and be prepared for things that might be coming in the future, but we need to be strong in our faith and our commitment and realize that everything that we are doing is very vital and counts for our families and for our future. This morning I'd like to speak with you about the Savior of the family. And by that term, I want to make it clear in the very beginning, I am not speaking of Jesus, who is the Savior of us all, but I am speaking of the husband and the father in particular. And I am saying that on the basis of Ephesians chapter 5 and the teaching found there. So I encourage you to open your Bible and be thinking with me about the importance of the family as Paul speaks of it here in this wonderful text. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul makes a comparison between Christ and the church, and the comparison of that between the husband and his family. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." He then goes on a few verses later to say in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So notice that in these passages there is an analogy being made by Paul between the relationship that Jesus has with his church, in which he loves the church and the church is subject to Christ, and how that is parallel with the relationship of a husband with his wife and his family. And so it is not out of the realm of possibility for us to make that statement that a husband is the Savior of his family. And I hope that you will be able to appreciate that as we proceed on into the text this morning. But he says that this is a great mystery. And by that he is saying that this is something that is perhaps difficult to understand, something that God has revealed to us, something that isn't just on the surface for everyone to see at first, but once God reveals it to us, we can understand the depth and the profoundness of this relationship and how important it is. The family relationship is more important than we perhaps often give credit or realize in God's plan and in His purpose. We see the greatness of the church and how important that is, but Paul is laying along beside of that the family and pointing out the fact the family is also very important in God's scheme and in His eternal purpose for our lives. In fact, there's ways in which if the church is going to be strong, the family must learn to practice these principles that are being set forth here. And if the family fails to have this type of order and this type of cohesion and love, then that's going to carry over into the church and affect how the church is also dysfunctional and failing to reach the level of excellence that God really desires for the church to have. So he points out the fact that There's a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church, but I'm also talking about the marriage relationship. And in that, he's pointing out the fact that husbands have a role model to follow, that each one of us as husbands has a role model to follow, and our role model is Christ himself. When it comes to our marriages, we are to look to Christ and learn how to be a husband that God would have us to be by observing how Christ is in his relationship to the church. And we find that that is to be an attitude of a loving leadership and strong leadership, but one that is modeled after Jesus Christ. We also find that wives have a role model to follow, and the role model in that case is the church. And the church, as she relates to being the bride of Christ and submitting to Christ, provides the relationship and the example that wives are to follow within the marriage relationship. Now, as we think about that, we understand that God is not asking us whether we want to fit into these roles or not. You remember that Moses, in the example of the book of Exodus, he came to the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and God appeared to him there in a vision. God said to him, "Moses, I'm sending you to go down to Egypt, go to Pharaoh, and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And Moses did not want to do this. Moses did not want to go back to Egypt. He had fled from Egypt. And he began to make many excuses that he could not be this person. Lord, I cannot. I'm not eloquent. I cannot do this. But the Lord told him to go anyway. And he said, "I will be with you, and I will equip you for whatever you need before Pharaoh. I will be there with you and provide that." So God did not allow Moses to squirm out of that responsibility that he was giving him to be the leader of the people of Israel. Now later on in the Old Testament, there is the case of Jonah. And Jonah came and God instructed Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against that city. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, you remember. He went down to the seaport and got on a ship that was headed for Tarshish in the very opposite direction of going to Nineveh. But God sent a storm upon the water, and Jonah was thrown overboard and swallowed by a great fish. And he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights, and then he was, polite society, regurgitated on the beach, and he then had reconsideration, and he did end up going to Nineveh. God said to Noah, "Jonah, I want you to go anyway. I know you don't want to go. I understand that. But I'm sending you." I'm suggesting to you, all of us this morning, that the same thing is true of us when it comes to being husbands and when it comes to being wives, that God did not ask husbands if you wanted to be the leader of your family. He did not ask wives if you wanted to be subject to your husband. He tells us that that is his will. That is his plan. That is his command for those of his people in Christ. This is how I want the family to be designed and to be in accordance with these roles. Husbands are to be the leader. Wives are to be in submission to their husbands. This is the will of God. It's not contingent on whether we want to accept that terms or not. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And I want to make it clear to us all that in order for the church to be strong, we must accept and seek to obey these principles within our own marriages, within our own families, if we want to be pleasing to God. What is a husband, we might ask? What is it that God wants of us as husbands? Because we are, first and foremost, the leader of our families. Wives are to be there in the marriage relationship, helping husbands fulfill this role. But what is it that God wants of a husband? It's interesting that the word husband is a word from English, in Old English, which literally means house band. And the idea of a band being a strip of metal or rope that is used to join or hold things together. We might think of, in the days of the covered wagons, the metal band that came around the wagon that held it all together. So a husband is literally, by definition, it is the one who holds the family together. He is the one of strength who molds and shapes the family and sees that it becomes what it should be, provides for it. And in that sense, a husband is the savior of the family. Now, I don't know if very many of us men have thought of ourselves or pictured ourselves in that sense of, I am the savior of my family. We may not have ever looked at ourselves quite in that way, but God wants us to. God wants you to see that, men, we are responsible for the condition of our families. In training and directing and leading our families in the ways of God. You remember that Joshua in the Old Testament issued a challenge to the people of Israel, and in that he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe that is the attitude and the decision that each father should make for his family. My family is going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to be at the head of that. And I'm going to do everything in my strength and my example to help my family fulfill that goal. Now, how are we supposed to do this today? How are we supposed to be a savior of the family that is like Jesus Christ? We understand that Jesus Christ is God. He is perfect. He has been raised from the dead, as we saw this morning. How can I, as a husband, truly become like Jesus Christ? How can I be a leader, a head of my household, like Jesus is the head of his church? Of course, the answer is by becoming more like Jesus in every way in my life. And especially as it relates to my family and my marriage and my relationship with my wife, I am to constantly go back and be thinking of, I am to be like Jesus in this marriage. And to the extent that I am successful in that, in molding and shaping my thoughts to be more like Christ, that is how I am going to be able to fulfill this tremendous responsibility that many of us might be like Moses or Jonah and say, Lord, I really don't want this. I don't really feel like I am able to do this. And yet the Lord is saying, tag, you're it. I'm picking you to be the leader of your family. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. So that is a tall order for each one of us. to start out with there. To be the head of the family, what is that? To be the head of my family. It is to be the leader. To be the one that is out front leading the way and making sure that my family is able to safely follow behind my lead. We find in Ephesians 1 and verse 22 that Jesus, it says, He put all things under His feet. God put all things under His feet. And gave Him to be head over all things to the church. All things are under His feet. All things are under His lead and His headship and His authority. I am put in that position. You, as husbands, are in that position. Whether we want to be or not, God puts us there. You are the head of the wife. You are the head of the family. You're in a position of leadership. So lead. Be willing to learn to lead. And don't think that we can shirk that responsibility and somehow stand right with God. Now, having said that, we also realize that God is saying that He requires respect for this position. And in verse 33, He closed this by saying, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." To be able to have the respect for that position is something that every wife needs to strive to understand that this is God's pattern. It is His blueprint for the family. And a wife is to respect that position that God has placed her husband in. Wives sometimes may say, but if my husband is not conducting himself in all the ways that Christ, then does that mean that I still am to submit to him? And the answer is yes, that you are, short of physical harm or danger that you might be in if he became a violent person or something of that nature. But I am suggesting to you that God teaches that we are to respect that position and respect what it is to be a husband. And by that, to encourage your husband along those lines. Back in the Old Testament, when King Saul and David began to have dealings with one another, Saul became very jealous. We remember that he was very jealous of David, insanely jealous. And tried to throw the javelin. He tried to take his soldiers out into the wilderness to find David to kill him. David had to go into fleeing and hiding in caves and so forth. But there were times that David had the opportunity actually to have taken the life of King Saul, but he refused to do that. And he said, "I would not lift my hand against God's chosen ruler." It was actually corrupt. But God put him in that role. And that's what David was acknowledging. That until God removes him, he is my king. And a wife must respect her husband. And to respect the fact that he is placed in a position of leadership. And that she is able to have an influence upon him by her submission. We find even in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 that a wife who is married to a man who is not a believer is still to be submissive to him. And it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." So it is a responsibility of respect that God is saying, "I want you to be the leader of your family, and I am I'm requiring that your wife would show respect to you as the leader. A second aspect of being the head of the family, I would suggest, is to be the teacher. How does Christ lead His church? How is He the head of the church? He does this by being a teacher. That is why when Jesus came in His ministry, what He was most often doing was teaching. And He led by that, by His instruction, by His teaching, teaching us how we can be His disciples and how we can be a part of His kingdom and how we can have a new life and why He has come and what He is going to provide for us. And so a husband is to be a teacher like that to his family. Now, how many of us as husbands realize that God expects us to be teaching our children, to be having Bible studies on a personal level with our children at home, that this is a responsibility that God gives to the husband and the father to be a teacher in his own family? And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he later said, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I realize that a father may be teaching his children many things that might not always consist of sitting down to the table and opening the Bible and having a verse-by-verse Bible study with them. But we can be teaching them in many other ways as we go through our days and our relationship together. We might be out for a walk, or we might be out in the yard and changing a tire on the car, or mowing the lawn, or going fishing. There are many, many, many ways in which a father can have a relationship with his children where he's imparting to them his knowledge and his faith in God. And that is what God is expecting of us as men, to be the teachers of our family, and first to live that in our lives, and then to impart that to our children, that they too may know the Lord. A husband also is the provider of the family, and this is a great responsibility also, that a husband is to provide for his family. And that begins, of course, with the physical needs that the family is going to have, the food, clothing, and shelter, and being the breadwinner, being the one who provides the living for his family by his work and going out and doing his job. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, that he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So a husband has a responsibility to work hard and to support his family and provide for him, for his wife, to provide for her, to provide for his children, that they may have a home to live, that they may have a acceptable way of life, that he is going to make sure that is provided for them. But also there is the spiritual provision, that as Christ loves the church and as Christ provides for the church, as he says in verse 25, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." By virtue of that, a husband has a responsibility of providing spiritually for our families and helping them to be pure and holy and to grow up to love and know the Lord. Now, I want to make it clear here that a husband is to be, this is a manly task. This is a manly responsibility. We have done a great disservice, I believe, to Jesus by often portraying him as a very weak, sort of like a Casper Milk Toast type of person, which he was not. And as we read about Jesus being a carpenter and in those days not having power tools like we do, and going out and confronting the money changers and turning over the tables and driving them out, we should be able to understand that Jesus was a lot more like John Wayne than he was Mr. Rogers. That he was a man's man. And being the father of the family does not mean that you are some kind of weakling. It means that you are to be a strong example of what a man is supposed to be in front of our wives and our children. And children are going to look up to their father as a man that they can respect. That is a responsibility, to be that kind of person, because our children are watching us and learning from us. And want them to be proud of their father. So a husband's job is to meet the needs of his wife and his children. And that requires that we understand them, that we know them, that we know each one of our children, that each one is different. Each one has their different personality. And we need to know them on an individual basis and care for them and provide them and have conversations with them and find out how they are doing and what their needs are and how we can provide for them. That is what it really means to be the provider of the family. But as I say, we as men, as husbands, we are responsible for our families, for the condition of our families. And being responsible, it really means that we are accountable, that we are going to be there for our family. They can depend on us. We are going to be with them, not off somewhere else doing whatever we might want to be doing. We're going to be there with our family. We have a commitment to them. And we are accountable. God is going to hold us accountable. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." So just like if a man is a bank president, he has an accountability for his bank to make sure that things are going well. If a man is chosen to be the head coach of a football team for the University of Washington, for the Seahawks, for whatever, he has an accountability to that, to be bringing the team along, to get it to where it needs to be. That is the responsibility that a father and his house and his family is to be responsible for the condition of things in his family, to know what's going on, and to check and inspect and make sure that things are all right. A father might take the position that he is going to inspect what he expects. That if a father says, for example, "Now, where are you going tonight?" "Well, we're going over to our friend's house." "What time are you going to be getting there? What time are you going to be coming back home?" And he would call over there and he said, "Now, did she get there? Is she there?" And when it's time, expect that she is going to be coming back home. So that's what I'm saying, that a father is going to be responsible for his family. He's going to check and make sure that things are the way they are supposed to be. He's not just off in la-la land, sitting back, kicking back, ignoring, and not taking any of that responsibility. You can't be a leader and be accountable for the family if a man is not involved with what the family is to be, and what the concerns are, and the safety, and the risk, and the dangers that might be a threat to the welfare of his home, and his family, and his children, and his wife. And it says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, men, God gives us a big responsibility here to understand our wives. And I realize some of you wives think, "Now, that's a hard thing that God expects me to submit to my husband. Well, let me tell you, it's a hard thing God tells us to understand our wives. If we can understand our wives, then it's not a hard thing to submit to your husband. I think everybody can understand that. But understanding your wives, now, that takes some doing. I saw the response. I saw a chart of the difference of a husband. You know, a husband is put together very simple. It's like one switch over there on the wall. You go over and turn the switch on. And that's all you need to really understand about a husband. With a wife, it's a whole wall full of, you know, different equipment and different things that... How can you possibly understand all that goes into, you know, what her feelings and how she is, you know, why she is acting the way she is acting? It's not easy. But at the same time, that is what God tells me to do as a husband, to dwell with him with understanding. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. She's different than you. She's put together different. She has different needs. She has different feelings. Emotions are different. You need to try to understand that. Be sensitive to the fact that your wife is different than you are. Don't get all upset if she doesn't quite react the way that you would react in the same situation. She's different. So that is being a good husband, is being aware that I am to understand my wife and to be caring and loving to her. And also of my children. He says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And to be as an elder of the church is a perhaps even a greater responsibility of the eternal significance and the lives of so many people. But it starts out by learning to be involved and caring and being a husband who understands and takes care of his own family. Now in that, we are to be a loving leader like Christ. And Paul makes this very clear here. He says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And I can say a little bit about this, that a husband is to cherish his wife. And I can guarantee you John Castle cherishes Helen. And that Matt cherishes Melissa. And Chuck cherishes Patsy. And that is a very tender relationship, that a husband's love for his wife, that he cares for her in that way. To nourish her, to keep her warm and safe with his tender love as his own body. And that, I don't think, is so much the extent of the love, but it is the kind of love that he has. Now, picture the situation like one of us as men, we're out working in the yard, working in the garage, or we're working in the... mowing the lawn or something like that, and we cut our finger and it's bleeding. What do? We go in the house, we care for it immediately. Make sure that that is taken care of. That's what he is saying. Take care of your wife that way, men. If there is something that is happening in her life, you be there and help make sure she's okay. Be sensitive, be caring for her. As you love yourself, as you would take care of your body, you take care of her in that same way, with understanding, cherishing and nourishing her, with understanding and with honor as the weaker vessel, because you are joint heirs of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. We're out of time, and as we think about the importance of the family relationship, we really can't say too much about it. The wife has her responsibility, but husbands, what I can say is this, that if we will model those characteristics that Christ sets for us, our wife will respect and follow us if we love our wife the way Christ loves the church. She will be a submission, she will be a respect, she will be thankful and encouragement to us to have that kind of care for her that Christ has demonstrated on His behalf for the church. And if that is possible, if that can happen, then the result of that is not only the family going to be in place, the church will be in place. Because to the extent that the family remains to be dysfunctional, the church is also going to be dysfunctional. If we as men are not the men that we are supposed to be in our homes, then that same failure is going to happen in the church. And it's going to be doubling and exponential, the effect and the tragic loss that's going to happen. The church is not going to be what it's supposed to be because we fail to be what we are supposed to be. But we don't have to be that. We can be the kind of husbands that God would have us to be. Put her ahead of yourself. Put your family ahead of your parents. Ahead of... Love your wife. That's where it starts. Love her as Christ loved the church. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning, that Jesus invites us to come to Him, to find salvation, to repent of our sins, and be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. If you're subject in any way this morning, please come while we stand together and sing.